one with myself.
This is the Buddha. This is the Dharma. This is the Sangha. Generally speaking, there's two ways that we speak of the eternal. One of them is, in one way, emphasizes the transcendent aspect of the eternal. That is, the fact that the eternal is much greater than ourselves, and that the eternal encompasses everything, not just one individual or a special class of beings. When we speak in that way, we use terms like the eternal, the cosmic Buddha, the Dharmakaya, means the body of truth, the truth body, and so on. Particularly in the Zen tradition, we also speak in a way that emphasizes the more immanent aspect of the eternal, by which I mean that the fact that each being, each entity, each thing, atom, whatever, that you can point to identify as in any way individual, is of the eternal. And that in some sense or other, we don't have to be too technical when I use terms like this, but there is an indwelling divinity or spark of the divine in each being. Of course, these are complementary entirely. These are just two viewpoints on the same thing, which of course is not a thing. River Master always emphasized in her teaching, this is basically the fundamental premise of religion, real religion, mature religion, that all beings possess the Buddha nature. How theoretical is this? How practically provable is it? Well, the best way to prove it is to actually experience Kensho. It doesn't matter whether it's a sudden stroke of lightning, instantaneous dark to light kind of experience, or whether it's a more gradual turning up the dimmer switch and the bulb gradually gets brighter and brighter until one day one finds within oneself the certainty of the eternal. The eternal is. It doesn't matter. What matters is the faith and the certainty, not the way in which it's expressed and acquired. But in this talk, I want to just point out very briefly that although most people don't know it, they have experienced the Buddha nature, and they have recognized it without necessarily knowing that's what they're recognizing. Now, I'll give you a few examples of this that are just part of the common experience of mankind. And not just mankind either. Not just humankind either. So here's one example that's quite common. People with a little baby look into the eyes of this little baby and see something utterly pure and clear and infinitely wise coming out of the eyes of a little baby. It has nothing to do with what might or might not be going on in that little baby's brain. You can see it in the eyes. Now, it may be the baby is having a tantrum and you don't see it in the eyes then. But anyone who's been around babies has seen this, at least from time to time. What we're seeing is Buddha nature there, unclouded by karmic confusion. With babies and little children, you often see these sudden swings between that utter innocence and simplicity and openness purity, the immaculacy, and then these little karmic storms that blow through, and they're both equally evident. You know, little selfish self manifesting, kicking and screaming, and then little Buddha nature manifesting, often in great silence and stillness, sometimes more playfully. Similarly, in the very old people as they approach their death, and especially in people who are actually dying, it frequently happens that the people around them will become aware of this amazing spiritual brightness, simplicity, and just beauty shining through. And that's the Buddha nature. And similar to little children, sometimes in the very old, and I saw this in my mother in particular, who died recently and in her last years, that whatever sadness or confusion was in her would just show on her face. But about a year before she died, I walked into the very, very nice nursing home that she's in. She was sitting in her wheelchair. And I saw her before she saw me. And it was like looking at this angel. Inexpressible beauty. Her just relaxed, still, bright. This word bright, you know, applies to both the little baby and to anyone in whom you see this quality. I have to say I've never seen actual, that I'm aware of, a kind of physical light or aura around someone. But this brightness that I'm speaking of, when River Master talks about the columns of light, it's the same stuff that's being talked about. The light of Buddha is just the light of Buddha. The light of eternal is just the light of the eternal. It may manifest itself in many ways. We may perceive it in many ways. But we're perceiving the same stuff. I saw this once with my mother. With my father, I saw it a number of times. Every time I visited him in his last months, it was literally like visiting an angel. And my father was a man had been a man with a very stormy temperament. So angel is not the word I would have used to describe my father, though I love my father, admire him dearly. But no, I wouldn't have called him an angel, but that's how I thought of him in those last months. And as I see it, now let me just explain for a minute and say how I understand this. What is it that's going on there? If this spiritual brightness or light, this Buddha nature is within everyone, why isn't it more evident in most of us most of the time? Or in everyone all the time? Because remember, I'm not speaking here of having to have any kind of special spiritual training or enlightenment experience or anything in order to see, to perceive what I'm describing. People who don't think of themselves religious at all and never even heard of Buddhism speak of this. So clearly, you know, this is not dependent on being particularly enlightened. I haven't done a lot of training or being a monk or a Buddhist or anything like that. I'm speaking of something which is, I really believe, a more universal experience of mankind. As I see it, the little baby hasn't had time to start making karma. So although the baby has been reborn, has been born because of a karmic inheritance, where there's still some spiritual need, perhaps a lot of it, that needs to be, to find its way back to the help of the Eternal. It needs resolution. You know, although that brought the baby into existence, it hasn't started making the karma yet. So the raw karma from the past is right there to be seen now and then. And the Buddha nature is right there to be seen. It hasn't been masked yet, buried in fear and ambition and confusion and hatred and greed. Well, we kind of run the tape in reverse here and think about old age for a minute, especially when people are approaching their death, getting very close to their death. What's happening there? What are people experiencing? Well, you can't do hardly anything anymore for yourself. And eventually some people get to where they can't do really anything for themselves anymore. So you got to give up. You've got to let go. And I have to say that if you're around the people who simply will not let go when it's time to let go, I think this is a lot less of the divine perceivable very easily, because they're very frustrated and angry. But as people, if people do this kind of, as it were, shedding of this, of the successive layers of clinging, well, eventually all that's left is just Buddha nature, which does not attach itself to anything. Of course, I'm not saying that these qualities don't show themselves in people at other times in their lives other than when they're very young or very old. It was a common experience, it is a common experience of monks, that when a layman becomes a monk, that you notice over time, sometimes with dramatic suddenness, sometimes more gradually, how the person's inner beauty kind of gets more and more revealed just as a result of the training they're doing. So many, many people have experience in this way of Buddha nature. And simply may not think of it in religious terms, or may think of it in other religious terms. Another way in which we experience Buddha nature is through love. Through ourselves loving and another, and to experiencing being loved in an open-hearted, non-grasping way, which is different from being, say, the object of desire. There is love in there with desire, but it's complicated by the desire. But when someone loves another and wishes only for that person's genuine welfare and wishes nothing from them, then that love, when they experience that love, whether they know it or not, they are experiencing the love of the Eternal. They are being a pipe of the love of the Eternal. And when you experience being loved by someone in that way, when you recognize that someone loves you in that way, what you are recognizing is the love of the Eternal coming through that person. Again, you may recognize that you are loved, but you may not recognize that it is the love of the Eternal, that it goes beyond that person and doesn't just originate with them. When self is out of the way, that love just flows. Up to this point in the talk, I've only talked about human beings. Everything that I've said of human beings is true of animals. If you look into the eyes of a young animal, you see the same thing you'd see in the eyes of a baby. A number of our animals in the temple have died this last year, and I was with two of them when they were dying. I spent a good deal of the last year with beings who were dying. And I certainly saw what I'm talking about with regard to old people. I saw it with my animals, with the dogs who were dying. The same, very same thing. Noticeably, you don't have to be some spiritual genius to see this, it's a noticeable brightening as they came closer to death. And as the layers were basically just shed away, the layers of worry, the layers of fear, the layers of clinging. If all beings truly possess the Buddha nature, then the experience of it cannot be so remote from the common experience of beings. Rather, you know, our experience is permeated by experience of Buddha nature, but we just may not be very aware of it. How aware of it we are throughout our daily life depends on what we're doing in our daily life and where our spiritual focus is. If we give ourselves over to greed and ambition and vindictiveness and narrow-mindedness and mean-spiritedness, if we're callous, inconsiderate of the feelings of others, blind to the fact that both other people and animals have feelings and long to be free from suffering, just as we do, then of course we can't really expect to be all that aware of the Buddha nature. Because whatever it is we think we're doing, we're actually overly preoccupied with ourselves. The hardest thing of all, and the greatest factor in blindingness to the Buddha nature, is, as I have said so many times, our own judgment of ourselves. Harboring a grudge against oneself makes the whole world gray in one's perception. Spiritually gray. It blinds us to the light of the eternal. Therefore, all of the 10 precepts, as well as the 3 pure precepts, cease from evil, do good for others, really begin and return to the question of what we're doing to ourselves in our own minds. The world of the senses, of our physical senses, is a big mirror in which we see ourselves reflected. What we don't like about that mirror is really a reflection of what we don't like in ourselves. Therefore, if we ever find ourselves scoffing, despising, belittling, being cynical or sarcastic about others, we are well advised to take a good look at ourselves and see what it is in ourselves that is really the issue here. What is it that we so dislike in ourselves that what someone else is doing is getting us to break the precepts. Because there's something there when that's going on. We have the Buddha nature, and we blind ourselves to the Buddha nature. We have the Buddha nature, and we are free to exercise self-forgiveness and genuine compassion for ourselves so that we can see the Buddha nature in others and in ourselves as well.